Sip, Create, Repeat, a podcast where makers meet marketers and share their stories. So fill up your cup and turn it up.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. We're your hosts, Chris Schneider and...
I'm Pat Rauta.
Today we are joined by Brandon Bakai. Brandon Bakai is a Cleveland-based motion designer and owner of Parallel Vision Post. So thank you for coming, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Brandon, you graduated from Columbia College in Chicago, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When did you graduate from there?
2007.
We're old.
You guys are old. I'm older, I guess. Yeah.
That's awesome. So Brandon's a part of the Cleveland Freelancers Union Spark here in the area. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your role with that and what you guys are trying to do?
Yeah, so the Freelancers Union is it's a national organization. It's been around for a long time, and it's a completely free organization, and they do if you go to their website, it's a lot of help. It's informational for freelancers. They do offer things like healthcare, things like that. And I don't know that they have like big buys or you save a ton of money, but they do have access to all that. So you can kind of navigate how to become a freelancer or just run your business, you know, a lot better and kind of keep your head on straight. But they do these local Spark programs where they're all over the country. I think they're in, I'm guessing like 35 cities or something. And they didn't have one in Cleveland when I moved back from Chicago. And so I talked to some other people. They kind of felt like there was a need. So I and another freelancer who I didn't actually know at the time, we linked together and we asked if we could start one up. We kind of, we had to fill out like this application for it. And then they kind of cleared us to do it. So it's a once a month meetup is really the core of it. And it's a little bit networking, but it's really a lot more based on information. So we'll have like a tax workshop. We'll do like our next one is setting your rates. You know, we do one about, you know, different things with healthcare or how to navigate contracts. So it's all definitely business oriented. It's across any industry. So it doesn't really matter. You know, I'm in the more creative field and we do have a lot of creative people, a lot of writers. But, you know, we have people who run HR and it's just kind of, there's a person there who her job is podcasting. And so it's just different industries. So it's kind of evergreen business content stuff. But yeah, that's the core is we meet the first Wednesday of the month. And then we also do like some brunches. We get together. We do like 2 networking events a year, like at a bar or something. So but really just kind of trying to, you know, lift everyone up together, you know.
Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're basically, you know, trying to build a nice community of people. Like, it can get lonely when you're sitting in your house working by yourself all the time. Like, it's good to, you know, get out there, talk to other people that are probably having the same issues that you're having or things like that. So that's awesome. So obviously going on, like, the importance of the community, what other sort of benefits do you, what does Spark provide? Obviously, you said resources, but... in your month-to-month like meetings, what are some other things that you see that are big benefits to those freelancers?
Well, I mean, you know, you had said it, just getting out of the house really is a major thing. I think when you think about freelancing, when you think about networking and freelancing in particular, it's you are kind of by yourself and alone, and you do have this weird feeling that you're just in this room by yourself, when really, like, we live in, Cleveland is a city just bustling with freelancers, all doing the exact same thing you are.
Right.
And some people have been doing it for 10 years and some people have been doing it for 6 months. And these people who have been doing it for 10 years have already navigated these waters that you're about to. And it's just kind of getting together and sharing the bumps and bruises that someone's already taken on. And then, you know, these people younger than me are coming in and, you know, if you check out my Instagram account, it is pretty horrible. And there's people just doing this way better than me.
Yeah.
And so no matter what I know or feel like I can do, there's always better ways to do it. But yeah, it's just kind of about like commiserating together and, you know, finding, there's just so much
swapping war stories.
Yeah. And because there's tons, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, some of it can just be, you know, watch out for this, or when you go and do this, make sure, you know, but some of it's shared work, and you know, we are different industries too, so that's a benefit too. You're not sitting in a room with, you know, your quote unquote competition or anything like that. Not that anyone really feels that way, but you know, people are, there's a writer who has a client who needs a thing, and they know people now who do those things.
Yeah. And I think that's important too. Like, we both freelanced before we started this, and I think like freelancers are willing to work together because their client is going to need something, right? Like, if they wanted, like, for instance, what you do, I'm not going to offer that myself because I can't do any of that, right? So, like, yeah, that'd be awesome. And you can kind of keep it in your network, right? And share that workload. But we all know that referral work is going to be way better than getting just cold, you know, leads from somewhere else, especially if it's referral work from, let's say, someone that's already paying you, like, a pretty good rate. Hey, cool. Like, you know, hey, they actually do pay like a somewhat decent rate. So, you know, just so you know, it's not work that's going to be, you know, super cheap and not worth your time or energy into it too. So I think just kind of building on that network and finding different revenue streams as a freelancer is probably a pretty big part of it too.
Because you're, you know, when it comes to networking and meeting anybody, you kind of said like cold, these, you know, reaching out to people cold is not really a great use of a lot of people's time, especially anymore. But so you're not really just networking with people who are also freelancers. You're building relationships with people who might actually, you just don't know who's going to ever need your work or your
services.
You're
building your referral network.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't know who is going to eventually get hired by a business or move on to something else either. And you're just, every person you meet who is in, who has this connection is a person who didn't know you existed before. Mm-hmm. So you're really just sprawling out at that point every time you meet these people, and they like you. That's what, you know, you're building an actual relationship with someone. It's not just like you walk into a room, here's my business card, here's my business card. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know? Hey, bring me 3 leads like next week, please. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
No, that's tricky. So what, you know, you've been a part of this group for a while, you freelance for a while, like what are some of the struggles that you see consistently just from freelancers in general, and how, and I guess we can all kind of unpack that because we've all been in that realm before, but like how can they break through those struggles a little bit, and I would say maybe specific to like scaling and trying to make this thing a real source of income for them, and whether it's for their family or for themselves, and they quit their job and they want to take this full time, like what are some of those struggles they see?
Well, you know, one thing is, what I experienced in Cleveland that I didn't really experience in Chicago is that, Cleveland's pretty open to, it was like 80% of everyone that I just emailed who I didn't even know, like, you know, oh, you're the head of a company. And I would say, hey, you have free time to get a coffee. You know, people are just really much more, I don't even want to say friendly, cause I don't think it was a non-friendly thing in Chicago. I just think it was more of like a, people just want to connect on that level, and they want to meet new people. And maybe I'm not as, you know, my industry here is not as huge as it was, you know, or as it is other places. So it's kind of almost like some intrigue. Like, yeah, I've never met a person who does what you do.
Right.
So really just like reaching out, figuring out if you're going to work local or if you're trying to build a business, you know, on a more national scale or something. But yeah, just getting out of your house and having as many coffees with people as you can, I feel like is really the first simplest kickstart to actually driving that. But, you know, getting to networking events, you just have to meet people. I mean, if someone doesn't know you exist, how is your business ever going to grow, you know?
Yeah.
And every successful job you do is now another person who you've got in your pocket to say that they were awesome, you know?
Right.
And they know people.
Right.
And I just think it's all about relationships and building a positive, you know, just flow to your work and the trail that you leave behind.
Sure. And I think we were talking about it before we started recording too. It's like so many freelancers struggle with the idea that like they are not a business. They feel like they aren't a business. They're just a person and they're doing some work. But the kicker is
freelancer.
You are a business. You're going to get taxed. You're going
to
get taxed.
If you choose to pay them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's not on us. but like you're providing a service and you're going to get paid for it and you're going to get taxed on it. And so I think you need to write like the groundwork of freelancing if the hope is to eventually take it to a bigger level is to start it off in treating it like a business. And I think even when Pat and I got started, we were both freelancing separately. And we said, you know what, like, why don't we just combine this together? Why are, like, yeah. I was doing development work, he was doing design work. I'm like, why are we doing this separate? Like, we could probably take on more work and just kind of turn out more if we just kind of team up on this. So instead of us working completely separate in our, like, vacuums, we just kind of put it together. And that's how Duo formed.
Yeah. I mean, it was really finding, like, you know, what were my strengths and what were the areas I was weak in, and, you know, what were the things that were going to help you? And it was just like, just made sense, you know? Like, yeah. Obviously, like, good design needs good development work. Good development right. work benefits from good design. And so it was exactly, now we've evolved, and we've evolved more and more over, since 2012. But that was definitely how it started. And I think the big thing, too, is, it, like, you know, it's great to talk to people in person, too. But the beauty of being the freelancer is, like, you don't necessarily have to be in Cleveland. You know, when I started out, like, I was freelancing for a company in San Francisco.
Right.
And the hourly rate I was getting from a company in San Francisco and living in Cleveland was amazing, you know? Like, but San Francisco's looking at me like, hey, like, this is fairly reasonable mm-hmm. compared to what we're paying freelancers in San Francisco. So that is a leg up that you have, is like, mm-hmm. you know, it's basically a global market. You can be doing work from wherever, yeah. which is, it's
2020,
good
man. It's the yeah. future
it's
right
2020.
Now.
It's getting back.
Cars are flying.
It's crazy.
No, it's true. It's very true.
I mean, like, when you look at, like, you could just network over Slack now. You know, you can, there's so many Slack. And that was one thing that when I first started, somebody said, hey, are you in the motion designer Slack channel? And I'm like,
what?
I thought they were just I'm on Slack all the time. And I thought it was just business to business. I was like, there's channels like that. And there's tons of them.
So there, and this will be for maybe some of the more established freelancers that are at a different level. Maybe those that call themselves influencers. Right. But there's so many premium paid Slack groups mm-hmm. now, where, like, there was one I just got an offer to with agency owners only. So you have to have an agency and you have to hit, like, certain financial, like, requirements to even be a part of it. But the goal is, like, when you're trying something new as an agency, that you can kind of throw it out there to them and see if anyone has started that or done that before. And it's then huge. Get some ideas and feedback before you even do it, right? So, again, it's that community, just kind of in a different way. And there's so many ways to be able to build on that. And
I've experienced someone who's just, like, I had a person, I sent a contract to a client. Basically, they said, no, and they struck some stuff out of the contract, which isn't strange. And I that's what a contract is it's a discussion. It's, mm-hmm. It can be a negotiation, absolutely. And I've had that before. And usually I've kind of gone through and, like, reworked things, and they kind of stood really strong on a point, and I can't remember the specific of it. And I kind of posted it up. I'm like, has anybody? And basically, like, a bunch of people were just like, yeah, this is the reason. It's due to NDA. So they just reword it to say this. And it was like, and there was no lawyer fee. There was no nothing. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was something where, I mean, it was fine. Like, I could have just struck the whole thing, but then I would lose that protection that I was that I needed.
Right.
And but it's just huge. Like, you just have all these people who've got your back who are, like, excited to answer your question.
Yeah.
Because they know, and people just want to help.
People, right. 9 times out of 10, your problem isn't a unique problem.
Absolutely.
Someone has had that problem before. No. So you're basically crowdsourcing solutions just, you know, from this network of people that have probably been there and done that.
100%, we're a part of a mastermind group that's a couple $100 a month, right? And a lot of that mastermind group is people posting questions and a ton of people answering that question. But the key is, you also have a lot of trainings and a lot of very specific things that they ask you to do inside of a group like that. But so much of that group is like, hey guys, I just had a client get a hold of me, and, you know, they want to do 1, 2, and 3. I've never done that before. How do I do that? And so, like, you get some insight from people that have been there before. And I think as a freelancer, like, those things exist. There's so many Facebook groups out there, right? Yeah. Like, Facebook groups alone, free ones for any, whatever your niche is as a freelancer. If you're a writer, if you're, ads manager, if you are a social media manager, whatever it is, there's so many groups out there. Like, I just encourage any freelancer, especially if you're not comfortable doing the, like, in-person stuff, right? There's some people that get to one of those events and they're like,
they just kind of shut down. Like, this is not what I like to do. Yeah.
So they could just, like, go search for some Facebook groups. They could find some really, really cool ones, and some really a lot of them will bring some good engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And then who knows, you could start to build your own group from that. And it could be people that are interested in your services and go from there. So
we have a Facebook group for Spark, and it's just local.
Yeah.
And that is, it's just people saying, hey, you know, does anyone know a good lawyer? Mm-hmm. Hey, does anyone know how to do this? Has anyone seen that? And that's all it is. It's just business stuff. Sometimes people post, you know, I need someone, you know, jobs or something. And, you know, like there's that saying like to fail fast. And it's like, fail fast on something else. Don't fail fast on the same stuff that everyone's been failing at over and over and over again, right? So it's like, go join with people who are all doing the same thing, and maybe they're just two steps ahead of you, and catch up.
You know?
They're just, it's just not hard.
Right. No, it's always good. And it's crazy because like we'll occasionally get people that ask us stuff, and like I still think like, oh, why are they asking me? And then I realize like, well, we started this kind of a long time ago in agency terms. Like, it's kind of fun, right? Like, okay, yeah, we've been through client issues and clients firing us and us firing clients and projects that go bad, projects that go great. We've been through
having good contracts, not having good contracts.
Exactly. Like we've been through a lot of that stuff, and we learn every time. But I think if we can help, you know, shed some light to other people so that they don't have to go through that.
Yeah.
It sucks to go through. So
well, like in the small business world too, like a year is just so long.
Yeah.
You
know?
So long.
And cause like people can shut down in a month, you know, like it could just happen. Yeah. So, so like that your insight that you guys have and how many years you've been doing it is huge. It's weird. Just a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like going back to what you were saying before about, treating it like a small business too. It's like, I think people think that running, being a freelancer is almost like less work than like starting a company with like 10 people or something. I'm like, I don't really, because when you have that bandwidth of human ability to like take over this work, that's stuff you don't have to do anymore. But like you guys, like you have to market.
Yeah.
Someone's got to, you know, do some HR. Yep. Someone's got to get paid.
Right.
You know, things have to happen. You're going to be estimating your taxes, like you said. Do you want health care? You're going to have to go figure that out. You have to hustle that down. And you need to be bidding. You need to be actually finding these clients. You need to be making sure that stuff gets invoiced, or you won't get. That's my biggest issue. Is at like the end of the month, I'm like, oh yeah, I need money, and the only way to get money is to ask them to pay me the money, and I forgot to do that part. But it's just weird. Like you have to wear so many hats that I think I started and I didn't really do it that way. You know, I kind of fumbled through it for a while, and then there was a point where I'm just like, you just kind of have to say like, no, I'm a business. And I'm just going to start from zero and just treat it as a business, build a business, start from, you know, and I started making like I have an actual like plan on what my payroll is and what like gets allocated everywhere. You just have to treat it like that. And then there's also so much peace of mind too.
Right.
Yeah.
You know where the money's coming from, you know where it's going, you know how to, you know, we had talked about before we started, like, you know, treating it like having a profit margin and actually having payroll and, you know,
I think freelancers don't assume that they have cost of goods sold, right?
Yeah, right.
Like when they're doing something, they're like, oh, I'll charge you X amount of dollars per hour. And they think they're making that much money per hour in like, not even factoring in taxes, right? Like, let's just shove that aside. Like, they're paying for an Adobe suite. They're paying for random subscriptions to all of these various things. Those all factor in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every one of those factor in. So if you're paying for all of that stuff, and you're undercharging,
right?
Like you're not making any. Like, look at it as a business.
Yeah.
That business is not going to last long.
Yeah, that was literally something we did as a business. Well, yeah. It was like 2 years. I guess it was like a year and a half, 2 years ago, probably. Like, I mean, we started making big changes probably like 24 months ago, and because we were in that exact spot, we were basically undercharging for the amount that we were spending on time and the amount of overhead we had.
Yeah.
And we had to look at it. That's the exact same thing whether you're an agency or you are a freelancer. You have to make those numbers add up, or you're not going to survive.
And I think too, like one of the big shifts that we had is, you know, someone will say, "Hey, can you just do this for me real quick?" Sure, that's X amount of dollars per hour per the contract that we have. You have to do that. Like have to do that. Otherwise, there's two things that happen. People take advantage of you for it, which sucks. And everyone says they won't, and they do, and it's a weird area to be in. I charge my brothers. I have to.
You absolutely should.
You have to. And I just think, like, you have to realize that as a freelancer, like, you are a business. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Like, you're a business. And I think if you sit here and do this little random free thing for this person. You think it's going to build better rapport. And what's going to wind up happening is it's almost going to do the opposite. They're not going to respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do go to say,
when you send them that bill, they look at it like, well, why does it cost that much? Yeah. Last time you did it, it was free.
Right.
And every hour that you're like doing something like that, like, oh, sure, I could take care of that for you. Yeah, it might be easy for you because that's your specialty. But that's an hour that you maybe aren't planning for your business or planning exactly. for how maybe that's that hour you needed to send that invoice that you needed to get paid yeah, for that yeah, month. Right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So you have to, you know, basically if you have to respect your time, so the client's going to respect your time.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I mean, and your time isn't just billable hours either. Like your time is, it's your business. So right. there's more to it than right. that. So it's not just doing this. Oh, well, it's this free thing. Cause I don't have something else to do. You have a lot to do.
You
just don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to get to work.
One of the biggest shifts I've been trying to make this year is like, as we set some really aggressive goals for our agency, but in order to do that, like, you know, I have three kids, I have a wife, like my schedule is always a little bit hectic. And so it's not like a traditional, I'm in the office from 8 to 5 and I know that I can get X amount done. It's basically this day planner, if you would, like break down what are your goals for the day? What do you absolutely have to get done for the day? Hour by hour, what should you be working on? Make sure you check those off. And then, you know, random stuff like, okay, if, you know, is there one person that needs you on your A game today? Like, and think about it and think it through. And I try to wake up every single morning, especially, and I do it on the mornings more when my schedule looks empty. Because when your schedule's empty, you find yourself just kind of like off in nowhere, and you're just gonna spend 45 minutes on TikTok doing nothing.
Yeah.
And so that has been a pretty big game changer, and I feel like freelancers struggle with that a ton, especially if you're in your house, it's comfortable.
Oh, I used to have a very strict like, I mean, especially because when I first started, I was living in a house with like 4 other guys.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like I had a dedicated office. It was like my bed was here, 3 feet away from that was my desk and where I did all my work from.
Yeah.
And so it was like a very strict, like, you know, you don't turn on a TV to have background noise from a TV. You don't, like, it was headphones and music if you did anything. And then, you know, it's carving out that time from like whatever your most productive time is going to be to say, like, I need to not be distracted by anything else. So that was whether it was knowing my roommate's schedule to say, well, one of these idiots is going to come home in about 2 hours and distract the hell out of me. So,
right.
You know, just carving out that time to get productive work done is huge. And yeah. I think to your point, planning out your day and having that very high productive like planning is a huge, huge
benefit. And you can do it just in like a Google calendar, right? Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. From 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., I'm going to work on this, from this to this. And give yourself buffers in between, like the mistake that people always make. It's like 9 to 10, I'm doing this. 10 to 11, I'm doing this. 11 to 12, I'm doing this. Break for 10 minutes for lunch. And then you're going to, you're never going to stick to it. Like I always do, you know, if I have an hour block or 2 hours block, I give myself 15 or 20 minutes between. Because you just kind of, you do need time to just switch gears, kind of change the way your mind is, and then get going on the other thing. So, I think you can make it as simple as just a Google Calendar, and then you're getting alerts.
Yeah.
And then you know when you're behind, right? Like, oh, crap.
I haven't started that yet.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm 20 minutes past where I was supposed to start. So, yeah.
That's like those empty days, which become more and more rare every day.
Yeah.
But those empty days, early on, you feel like, oh, cool, I'm going to go for a two-hour dog walk. And
yeah,
I'm just gonna go, you know,
this is
chill
what
for
it's,
a while.
I'm a freelancer.
Yeah, that's what
man,
freelancing
right?
is, right?
I'm just like, yeah. I'm
but it's
go.
Those empty days are like, well, no, that's just the day that I have to do some other job.
Well,
you know, that I didn't know.
One of the biggest issues that I see, whether it's small business owners, whether it's freelancers, whether anybody, is going to be like social media management, right?
Yeah.
Those empty days are perfect for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like schedule. Yeah. Get your stuff scheduled in advance.
Get your content planned.
Plan it out, make a loose content plan, and then just kind of try to fill in the details once a month.
Twice a month. I get, I'll partner and contract stuff out, or I'll collaborate with other editors, things like that all the time. And a lot of times when I'm like looking for new people to work with, they'll send me like, here's my website. I haven't updated it in a while. That's like, and I said the same thing like constantly.
Yeah.
And it's just this point, it's like, why? why haven't they?
It took us 18 months to redesign our website.
But here's we're not even talking about a redesign.
Yeah, talking about
I'm just talking about getting content, popping in there and posting the new sweet thing you just did,
right?
Because that's what's going to give you more.
Yeah.
And when, like, I have people that I know have visited, because they'll like make a comment to me about something on my website, but they'll have visited my website and then, like, maybe they've gone there 3 times in 6 months and they've seen the same thing, and I'm missing out on something huge by putting new stuff in front of their face. They're asking for it,
yeah,
and I'm not giving it to. It's the easiest thing too, because like my stuff's just linked on Vimeo. It's literally a copy and paste, and it'll just replace. It's so stupidly. I'm not talking about like making a blog post. I get it. That stuff's hard. Yeah. There's got to start making some links and put some images. Like there's work, but I'm just talking about just little
like
things
you're
that
already
show
produced
people.
Stuff.
Yeah, like, and it just shows, you know, your clientele that, like, they're on top of it. Like, look at them. They're constantly updating stuff, you know?
Well, what's funny, too, is people send that, and they include that little message. The person on the other end might have no clue that you haven't updated your site, right?
Right.
Like, don't tell them that. Uh-huh. Don't start the relationship off with, oh, yeah, I haven't touched my own stuff in 8 months, right? Like, I get it. The whole shoemaker's kids had the worst pair of shoes type deal. Don't start it off that way. Just like, hey, here's my website.
That's I've like
people
in,
just
in
want
college,
to feel awkward spaces.
Yeah, well, it's exactly that, and it's like in college. I remember that we used to always like all of our reels. They're all tagged by date because the idea is you're supposed to in MySpace every 6 months you're supposed to have a new reel coming out.
R.I.P. MySpace.
And but like it doesn't. That doesn't ever happen. But like people like I'll see someone's reel. Like someone will send me a reel today, and it'll say 2017. It's like just get rid of the date.
Stop dating it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Guess what? There's a chance that like the design or the
absolutely
or like
it's,
the effects or whatever.
Dated,
those are gonna date
sure.
already. Like in web world and marketing world and all that stuff. Like you're gonna be able to tell right away if this is older or not.
But I'm not gonna say it's 2017.
But here's the thing: know? If you produced good work in 2017, there's a chance that you're still producing good work today.
If not better, because guess what? You've grown and you've learned things.
If not better, very rarely do people take big steps back. So, like, I'm going to look at that work, like, whenever we have, like, job openings and someone's submitting a bunch of web stuff to us, and I look at it, I'm like, okay, that's old, but it's high quality, right? Like, I don't care that it was made in 2012, because guess what? That might, there's a lot of businesses out there that think they need a new website once every 10 years, and that's fine. You can't change that, right? And so, yeah, as freelancers, like, you just got to stop, like, putting that date on your stuff unless it really does need it.
Yeah.
You know, but outside of that, yeah, don't follow up with the, oh, yeah, I haven't updated this in a long time. It's just
I don't really take myself serious. That's what it almost sounds like.
Yeah,
and I've
done
the same thing, but it's like, yeah, it just seems like, you know, marketing isn't important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my link.
But it is when you don't have any business lined up.
Yeah, right.
Like all of a sudden, and that's when it's too late. That's when it's too late. Is
the second you have the lull and need the business, you're already behind.
Yeah. See, and that's like I think that's just an easy pitfall to fall down, because I think people, you need to be marketing while you're too busy working, which is lining up your social media content, like getting that stuff planned. That's what actually fills that void. Because once you start to slow down and you're like, all right, I'm gonna shift gears. Well, you should have shifted gears 2 months ago.
Right.
You're way too late, and now expect to not have any work for the next 2 or 3 months.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's got to be okay. And so, you know, I think, and then people get into this weird place where they say yes to everything, or
they
discount their rates, which like
again, it's just undercutting. You're just undercutting yourself, right?
Like, and I think that's like the biggest, like when we talk about setting like at Spark, people talk about their rates and it's like, so yes, you know, you are making it up, right?
Right.
So that gets hard, because you feel like maybe I'm not worth what I thought. But it's like, if you do a little research, talk to your peers, and you know that what you're setting is appropriate for the market,
right?
Because there is an inappropriate rate,
sure.
You know,
right.
There is too high, of course, but if you're setting an appropriate rate, you know that it's good for you to live on. That's important. You can save money, you can make sure you pay all your bills, you know, and you can actually grow your business. Then you need to stand on it, and you need to say, that's my rate. And when someone comes, I think the thing that I always tell people is, I've had a lot of jobs that I've said no to, and typically what'll happen is, you know, I'll say, this is my rate. And then maybe a week will go by, and then they'll come back to me and say, well, someone else can do it for X.
See you
and
later.
And I say, wow, that's a great deal. Good luck with the project. Let me know if I can help you in the future. And I just always stand on it. It's not, I don't wiggle. I don't do anything. And I will say, I mean, it's not like a huge success rate, but I would say probably like 40-50% of the time they end up going with me.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, that could be 100% of the time if I lowered my rate, but I'm also working more for less money. So,
and you might be taking on a bad project.
Yes. Like, and do you really want to work with someone who's like trying to wiggle you down at the very beginning?
There's a good chance that if they're asking you to undercut your rates, that it's not going to go well.
Right. And I always tell people, though, that if somebody has come back to you, get these horrible junk calls all day. I need to turn everything off. So
United States is calling.
It is always.
Yeah.
No, but I always tell people that if somebody has taken the time, someone who's extremely busy, who's running a business, probably maybe it's a tech startup, and they have no time on their hands, but they could take the time to come back to you, to beg you to lower your rate, to match another person who apparently could have done the same job just as well as you.
Right.
They desperately want you to do it, and they don't want to hire this other person.
Right. Exactly.
That's exactly why they're coming back to you. Right. Or else they just would have never responded to you again.
No.
They want you, and that's great.
Right.
And stand hard on your rate.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, like, even as an agency, we still get it. People will say, how much are your WordPress sites? And we tell them, and they're like, yeah, well, so-and-so can do it for X amount of dollars. And I said, okay, well, let's go ahead and get on the same playing field. What are they offering you? That what's different? There's always something different. And I think, like, talking about the big shifts that we've made in the past 24 months, it's standing on our pricing and just not wavering.
Well, and to your point, like, it's comparing a level playing field. It's like, hey, you know, we need a custom WordPress website. And they say, well, what, you know, Wix is free. We say, okay, well, you're not, that's apples and oranges. You're not even comparing the same platform or same, you know, features or any of that.
Right.
So it's, if that's the solution you're looking for, well, hey, we could do this at this price point, way less, but guess what? It's not going to have all of the, like, bells and whistles that you would expect.
It's like, that's like saying, like, hey, I'm going to hire a photographer, but wait, there's a picture in the frame already at Walmart. And that comes free with the frame.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't I just use that picture?
Yep.
And that family looks great.
They look really beautiful. Way better than this dumb face. I do think that, you know, you are a business. So unless you're offering, you know, a painting, you know, something that's done and finished and, finite, you know, my services are kind of vast. Like if someone says, well, our budget's $5,000. Here's an example of what we want to do. And I say, well, that usually costs $8,000. I don't say buy. I say, but here's what we can do for $5,000. Mm-hmm. It's not that, though.
Right.
You know, let's remove some things from that.
Yep.
You know, you wanted the, you know, there's really great motion graphics, but let's go back. Maybe let's do some more editing. That stock footage that you want way too expensive. Let's go find you something cheaper.
Right.
You know, there's ways
you can
to do
still
it.
Deliver a good end product and match their price point.
Scale just, back the scope.
So exactly. That they have to understand yourself. Like why A to B isn't necessarily A to B, right?
Because if you're, there's a big difference between, you know, my budget's $4,000 and you cost $8,000. Like, that's a long distance, but probably something can be done compared to the person who says my budget's $400 and this cost $8,000.
Right.
That's just like, well, that's, you know, there's just a different market for you, and there's something for you. That's I think the hard part is that you can build a website for zero and you can build a website for $50,000. Mm-hmm. You know. I had a client who wants to do a 30-second ad, and you know, I think their budget, it started out to be like $3,000. We ended up getting it up to like six, and you know, it's just a real what they want. It's kind of a big ask, and so we're kind of going down that road now. And but it was the conversation of, you know, Bud Light does 30-second ads too. You know that. You know what I mean? Like, and they pay $500,000 and then they pay $10 million to air them.
Right? Yep.
So it's just, you know, you can get a $10 million 30-second ad.
Right.
And you can a kid out of college can definitely make you one for a couple $100.
Right.
Like it's just, there's just different stuff in the way. It's a creative space, you know?
Yeah.
Websites are no different. It's just you know, what you can fit into the bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's always difficult. I think that's something that we will always struggle with, especially when your title is freelancer, because again, a freelancer that's in college is going to charge you nothing per hour because they want the stuff to just put in their like portfolio and their resume, whatever. But then you have the person that's like you know, my dream job is always to be titled consultant, right? So like when I get, you know, retire and get out of this, like I just want to be a consultant, because like that's another level, right? Like freelancer, consultant, you automatically know. But that's the problem with freelance, is it ranges from like very entry level all the way up to that, and there's no like corporate job titles like I'm freelance four, so just so yeah. You know, like, you know, here's my rate card, it's gonna be a little bit more. So
I think like when you look at everything, it's stop competing, because yeah. You can't win.
You're only hurting
yeah.
each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You're just cannibalizing each other.
Yes.
Sure. And when you look at, like, there's, oh, you know, they're cheaper, or I can do that for that. And when you look at something like Upwork or,
yeah.
There are people who, whatever you think the lowest could ever possibly be, someone's doing it for half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't run down there. Like if you've done your research and you know the market can handle your rate, yeah. You're fine. There's plenty of work for everybody. You're just not finding it.
Right.
Maybe your rate is too high. I don't want to say that it isn't. It could very well be. Maybe your work isn't very good. And you need to lower your rate, you know,
right.
But that's just a difficult conversation that, you know,
right.
I think when you meet peers and compare and you say, I think that the thing that I find more than absolutely anything, especially at our meetings, when we talk about different work, is not that people's rates are too high, is that they're too low.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always, I encourage everyone to raise your rate. I mean, that's,
yeah.
I encourage you to raise
test
it every year.
Test mm-hmm. the market.
Oh, yeah.
Every year right. You should be auditing what you're doing,
right.
Because I'll tell you, like I, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago when I started doing this, it was like the things that I knew are not even remotely the stuff that I'm delivering now.
Yeah.
Like it is crazy, especially when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
Because you have to learn how to do so much stuff.
Right.
And you have to be super savvy. You gotta, you know, be able to hustle really, really fast. And you start to learn stuff that you didn't know that you would ever, you know, or maybe you didn't even care to learn before.
Right.
You know, you really start to get into it. And you know, you should be auditing what you're offering and raise your rates and
yep.
stand strong on them. I mean,
yeah, nobody wins in the race to the bottom.
No,
so let's
just
go ahead and just stop.
And it's about like making sure that you have stuff so you don't have those slow times, so you don't get into that crazy mentality that nothing's going to come.
Oh my God, I'm not going to have another paycheck.
Yeah,
how
am I going to pay rent?
My hourly rate's now $5 an hour on Upwork. Someone's going to hire
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
I said no to a $10,000 job. Like 6 months after I started freelancing, I said no to a $10,000 job, and I had a conversation with my wife about it because I really didn't want to say no. And it was a client that I like despised. It was one of those things where the reason I talked to my wife about it is that I said, this is going to be something that's going to, it's going to be a nights and weekends thing. They're going to call me and expect me to
yeah.
be answering the phone
yeah.
in the mm-hmm. middle of dinner and
right.
stop what I'm doing and go work on it.
Right.
And
which is the worst.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And since then I have boundaries. I have
right.
I have hours and I don't respond. I don't answer. And my clients know that up front. I'm very transparent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're getting when you know, you're getting a business. You're not getting a human being that you can just drag through, you know, as hard as I'm not an employee of yours.
Right.
So I don't care what your culture is.
Big key right there.
Yeah. But I said no to this job, and it was about 3 weeks later. You know, money felt like it was gonna get tough,
like,
and I was starting to think about
get pulled back to it. Right?
Yeah, and I was starting to think about like maybe I start reworking my resume, maybe I'll get back in, you know, I'll start looking for jobs or something. And the biggest job, still to this day, the biggest job I've ever had came to me. So saying no allowed me
yep.
to put a proposal in for this
yep.
job, which I would not, had I said yes, I would not have
right
had time
to put
do
yep.
that.
Yep.
And this is a client that I've continued to work with consistently.
Right.
And I mean, they're just amazing.
Lifetime value of that client is probably significantly more than the 10,000 that you passed up.
Oh my God. It was
yep.
more on the initial proposal
yeah.
alone. And then now it's just like this relationship that I've built with them, and like they've introduced me to other people.
Yes.
I mean, it's just been amazing. And it's just, when you look back, it's like, if it's not right, it's not right.
Yeah.
Just walk away. There's
yeah.
no
yeah.
reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. So what are some ways that like freelancers or that you specifically kind of market yourself? Like, is it all in-person networking? Like what are the ways that you market yourself so that you can continue to get more work outside of word of mouth? Because I know word of mouth
yeah.
is huge amongst freelancers, but other ways.
Yeah. I mean, I try to join onto... you know, as many of, you know, the networking sites that I can. I do try to meet as many people as I can. But when I first started, I got a bunch of jobs with some cold emails. I tried to make some connections.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's always great to say, hey, blah, 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 told me I should reach out to you. You know, putting that name. Sometimes you put it in the subject line just so your email doesn't get deleted.
Right, right.
But so I did try to do that just as like a getting started thing. But now it's definitely much more of, I'll say honestly, I'm on Upwork.
Yeah.
I don't work a lot on there, but I do meet a lot of people.
Yes.
Not that I'm telling you to meet someone and get off Upwork, because that's against Upwork policy. It's against Upwork policy.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
It's against Upwork policy. But but I mean, you know, it's really, I think being on Upwork, though, above anything, kind of opened my eyes to the kind of atrocity of job pricing and
3 cents an hour up to like 500 an hour.
Yeah, it gets really weird. Even on Upwork, I've told people who are talking about starting out, when I raised my rate, I had a competitive rate when I first started on Upwork.
Yeah.
Because I looked at what was on there.
Cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And because I was like, oh, this is who's on there. And, you know, I was getting stuff. A lot of it was just kind of junky.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just like, you know, I don't really work on Upwork that much. I'm just going to raise my rate to, I'm going to do whatever my current rate is. I'm going to add 20% to cover all the fees and everything and then get a little bonus bump. So I did it. I got more offer. Like, I've not ever searched on Upwork for work. I get job proposals sent to me, and I've had more job proposals once I raised my rate than I would have ever. And I learned after talking to people is, if they have like a real job with a real budget, they go to search for freelancers and they search by hourly rate in reverse.
It's a level of legitimacy.
If
you're willing to say that that's what you're worth, then you respect your work and the quality of your work, and you know that you can deliver on it. So immediately they're going to say, okay, I respect that.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to reach out to you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was so funny. I was just like, so you search by most expensive? And they're like, yeah, you just have to wade through it. And how else do you do it? And I'm like, that's awesome.
Because despite what we think, not everyone is looking for the cheapest solution.
Right.
You know, they may be looking for value.
Absolutely.
But, you know, they aren't trying to hire someone off of Fiverr to do something like.
And that's the
quick thing
is that I think like I've gotten. I mean, there are real companies. One of my clients who they're a big national company and they've spent millions of dollars on Upwork, with jobs because they contract everything and they're a legitimate company with legitimate huge budgets, but they don't know how to go about hiring at mass like that.
Right.
So
right.
And that's the way to. They don't use it as a tool of budget. They use it as a tool.
They have
of
a. They have a
hiring
problem. Like they need a video created. They have no idea how to go about finding someone to produce it and execute it for them, other than hey, this is a network of people that do things, and I can say video, perfect. Let's throw it out there.
I've noticed that like clients do like these. They're called enterprise clients on there, and they do this thing where they basically have like an enterprise sign in, and I'll just get somebody from some department saying hey. We were told to sign on and find a video person to do it through here. And like, we don't know what we're doing. And it's like, cool. Okay. You
Sweet.
Know, what's your budget? And they just have like a big sign in that they just, that's where they go. You need something that our company doesn't offer. Sign into that thing, use our portal and just find somebody.
Yeah. Not to make it too much of a commercial for Upwork, but like we find a lot of work on Upwork too. It's,
I have my beef with Upwork.
It's a good lead gen if you use it right.
Yeah.
And then if you can afford it as a freelancer, telling everyone to go out and do it again, if your rate will allow you to do it, and you pay for their $15 a month thing, it gives you like unlimited connects. So now they started to get to the point where they only give you like 10 of those a month or whatever it is, and then you use two every time you like send a proposal out. So you pay 15.
It's like
bucks
Dave and Buster's money.
Yeah,
like nothing costs one.
right.
So why do it like that?
Right.
Like you're just messing with my head to make me think I have more.
So it'll immediately like start showing you higher on like freelancer results. It'll start showing you like when people are searching around, like as long as you have good reviews, and always make sure you're following up with any work that you've done to make sure that you get good reviews on it. But, you know, if you can get rising talent, all those little badges, like fully filling out your profile, doing their little verification process and getting the little blue check, all of those things are huge. And they will make you seem more legitimate. And then when you just stand by your rate, no one's going to care.
Yeah. And raise your rate. Because I'm not, what I don't like about Upwork is that 20%. they put that fee on the freelancer, which is pretty frustrating.
Yes.
But I understand that's their model to get people to come and use freelancers. So if that's the case, whatever, it is what it is. So raise your rate 10% or whatever.
Once you make more than 500, it goes to
15. Oh, no, it's maybe 10 now. I don't know.
I think it might cut in half. I forget what it is, but I know that once you get over $500 with a client, it'll drop that rate.
And then after $10,000, I have a couple clients that I'm there, it's 5%.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it really isn't bad. I would just put that in your rate.
Just overcharge.
Yeah, overcharge at least 10%. Yeah. You know, take the...
Right.
It's basically you're paying taxes, right? So you just, whatever you think you're going to get, you know, as a fee, just throw it on there.
Sweet. Yeah. Awesome. I don't have anything else.
Nope.
I think that is all we have. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we didn't ramble too much. And thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Sip, Create, Repeat podcast. You can find us on Anchor, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play Store, and on Spotify. So be sure to tune in and subscribe, and we will talk to you soon.
Yep. We'll see you.